so much of the time. And very soon,
oh, yes, Lord,
my troubles far behind.
Oh, yes,
lately I've got leaving on my mind.
Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind.
Sing it to him. It seems that's all
I've been thinking about.
So much of the
that I'm living in is needing repair. The windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I say to myself,
hallelujah,
gonna fix it. When I can find the time, but all I've been getting lately,
hallelujah,
is leaving
all
my mind.
Lately all I've got is leaving
on my mind.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead, give him a good hand clap tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, I believe that's the testimony of the heart's desire of all God's children. We've got to leave it on our mind. I'm glad this world is not our final hope. Aren't you glad about it tonight? What a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord. We had some church here over the weekend, didn't we? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Brother Terry just took us on an incredible journey here on Saturday night. Brother Terry, just a blessing to hear that. Brother Donnie coming on Sunday morning, we went on another incredible journey. We're just kind of incredible people, I reckon. You just get to take all kinds of incredible journeys. Aren't you glad God loves you? Aren't you glad to be part of what God has done in the world today? Amen. A lot of people wouldn't give the snap of your finger for it. But I'm going to tell you, it's the greatest thing that ever crossed our path. The word of the Lord for the hour. Amen. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Do you love the Lord better than everything in the world? Is He the best thing that ever got a hold of you? Turn around and look at somebody and say, God bless you, my precious brother, sister. Praise the Lord.
Sing that second verse for me.
I guess I should be looking for a better place to live. can seem to get excited about. Laodicea and all it has to give. I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with one solitary dime.
Oh, it's a true church.
For what good would this world
to have some church here tonight. I hope you're ready. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. I want to recognize some folks here tonight that's been not been able to be here for a good while, and I know they're glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Brother Jackie Benton, God bless his heart. Praise the Lord. Certainly love Brother Jackie. His steps are getting just a little bit slower, but his desire is as good and as real as it ever was. Isn't that right, Brother Jackie? Praise the Lord. Also, Brother Bert, Sister Barbara Gravely, they're back in the house of the Lord with us tonight. Praise the Lord. So glad for that. And I saw Brother Eugene Kennedy out in the car. I don't know if he's made it into the sanctuary, but he's here on the church grounds tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord for that. Amen. Well, we're just so thankful for what God has done for us as a group of people. We're just in love with the Lord, aren't we? Amen. Let's look at our prayer request here just for a minute tonight, and we'll go right on into the service. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says thank you for praying for Matt Shepherd, our neighbor. The bleeding on the brain stopped. They have repaired the femur bone and was working on his ankle yesterday. Continue to pray. He still has both shoulders that are broken, so we want to pray for that need. The Lord would just move in a mighty way and give that man healing in his body. Sister Linda in North Carolina, who is one of our streamers, her son was found dead by Sister Linda and the ex-husband. Sister Linda, all of them are just very distraught, as the son was only 30 years old. They need our urgent prayer. Sister Linda is a sister to Sister Jackie Williams. May God bless you. Sister Martha Ann sends that in, so we certainly want to remember that family. Marcus Turner and Linda, and the Lord just give them comfort and peace during this terrible, terrible time of their life. God's able to help them. I believe that, don't you? Amen. This comes to the library. Sister Lynn Estrada says, dear brothers and sisters, I'm asking that you would pray for traveling mercy, as I would be flying to Houston on the 12th of August and returning on the 19th. Your prayers will be greatly, greatly appreciated. And so we just want to commit that need unto the Lord, that God would be mindful of her. Please pray for Amber Gross. God knows all about it. We'll just commit those needs to the Lord. Sister Janet Kennedy says, an urgent prayer request for my mother who has dementia. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Brother Jerry Glenn got to go home from the hospital late yesterday. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. He is feeling some better and thanks everybody for their prayers and that the church would keep remembering him in prayer. So we certainly want to just hold Brother Jerry to our hearts and ask the Lord to be with him. Brother Randy Scott says, could you please remember me in prayer? I have been having problems with my vision in my right eye lately. Also, they want to thank the Lord for touching their pet, doing much better. So we praise the Lord for that. I want to pray for Brother Jack Wright from Illinois. He is seeking God's will on some areas of his life that he just asking that we would pray for leadership. The Lord would guide him. Also pray for his granddaughter, Aaliyah, who has severe eye problems and needs a touch from the Lord. So let's remember that tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful. Sister Brenda Harmon, severe back pain tonight. We want to pray for that need. Then we have a card of thanks from Brother Bert and Sister Barbara. Just take the time to read it to you tonight. It'll be put on the bulletin board. Brother Bert says, I just want to thank all my brothers and sisters for their prayers, the fruit baskets, and the calls. There's not any church that has the loving care and concern for their people as Happy Valley and Brother Donnie. I want all of you to know that I love you and so proud and thankful to be part of this congregation. Well, we kind of like you too, buddy. God bless you, Brother Bert. Amen. Sister Barbara says, the Lord bless you for your prayers. And when I had 80 to 90% blockage and God brought it down to 40 to 41, no surgery was needed. My doctor said it was a miracle from God. Thank you, Sister Barbara. Sister Barbara, we kind of like you too. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And let me welcome some folks to the service tonight. This is their first time to be in this congregation, this assembly with us. They live in Bristol, Tennessee, moved to this area from Conyers, Georgia. That's Jason and Regina Moat. Where would you folks be? Would you just raise your hand? Where are they? Help me out. Point to them. Right back in this area here. God bless you wherever you're at. God bless you. Praise the Lord. So glad to have you in the service with us tonight. Trust that it'll be a blessing to you. Let's just have a good time in the Lord tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about? We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. Brother Tim, if you'd do me a favor. Brother Jackie Benton's going to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight on behalf of these prayer requests. Certainly love Brother Jackie Benton. He's a warrior. If I ever seen a warrior, he's a warrior. Praise the Lord.
Let us all join together in prayer. What a privilege we have, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come tonight, Lord, and give thanks unto Thee, Lord. You're worthy of all of our praise and all worship, Lord, goes to our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for this privilege tonight to be, Lord, among those, Lord, hallelujah, the believers, Lord, to be with the church family, Lord, tonight, Father. And Lord, there's many needs among us, Lord. And we pray, Father, as we bring them before You, You know, Lord, the request, Lord, before we even ask You, Father. And we ask You, dear God, that You'd come tonight, Lord, and speak to every heart, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah, with faith, Lord, in their hearts, we pray. We bring them, Lord, before You tonight, Lord. I can't remember all of these requests, but Lord, Thou knowest. You know each one, Lord, and I ask You tonight, Lord, that You would come. Give, Lord, faith in the hearts of Your children. Bless the service tonight, Father. Bless those, oh God, that may be on the internet, Lord. Suffering, Lord, sickness, Lord, with trials and temptations, Father. I ask You, dear God, tonight to remember them, Lord, tonight I pray. Grant it, Father, we ask You, Lord, to in the remaining portion of this service, may, Lord, You come tonight and speak to our hearts tonight through Thy word. Thy word, Lord Jesus, is forever settled tonight, Father. And we ask you, dear God, that you would come tonight and speak to us. Hallelujah, through your word, Lord. Anoint the messenger, Brother Don, as he comes, Lord. Give him strength, oh God, for his body, Lord. And as he pours out, Lord Jesus, the word unto us, may we receive, oh God, tonight what you have for us. Tonight we pray. We give you all the glory and all the honor and the praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for thy glory, and amen, and amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come tonight and receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord, if you're visiting with us tonight in the service, other than the ones that we mentioned a few minutes ago, any other visitors, God bless you. We're so glad to have all of you with us. Those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could we say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand tonight, if you will. Amen. Are you ready to sing?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to worship?
Yes.
Are you ready to have church? Somebody say glory. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Let's sing a little song tonight to go with what we sung just a little bit ago. Lately, all I've got is leaving on my mind. I've never been this homesick before. Have you? I've never been this homesick before in my life. You go somewhere and you're always eager to get back home. You know, we're like home, but this is not home. This is where we stay till we get home. We're headed home. Look at somebody, say, are you going with me? Yes, I'm going with you, Brother Rob. God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Say it, Brother Harry.
There's a light in the window. The table spread in splendor. Someone standing by an open door.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
I can see the crystal river.
Oh,
Lord, I must be near forever. 'Cause I've never been this whole
city. Church, say it like you believe it. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about.
Standing at the door.
This world's been a winner. Let's sing this little chorus. Brother Brandon Green, if he gets ready, come on to the platform and give us a song tonight. I'm amazed every day of my life of how much he loves me, how much he cares for me, how much he really loves you. You think, well, you know, I'm just a little nobody down here. I'm just a little somebody in a little spot in this vast universe. But I'm going to tell you something. You're actually why he went to Calvary. You're part of why he died on the cross. You're part of why he arose. You're part of why he revealed this great truth. We're not all of it, but there's one thing about it. We're certainly part of it. Somebody say glory. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed. As you're seated tonight, God bless you.
The devil laughed and said, I've won. God has lost his only son. The brightest star no longer shines. Finally, this world is mine. And then he gathered all his demons near. He said, we have conquered love with fear. Meanwhile, back at the cross, all is not lost. Forgiveness is bought with each drop of his blood. It falls to the ground. Mercy abounds. His mother Mary's tears fall down to see her precious son pay the cost. The devil said, we'll use their pride. We'll attack them from inside. We'll fill their hearts with vanity till their differences are all they'll see. Black and white, rich and poor, to justify their holy war. Meanwhile, back at the cross, all is not lost. Forgiveness is bought with each drop of his blood. It falls to the ground. Mercy abounds. His mother Mary's tears fall down to see her precious son pay the cost. take a look around. Turn on the evening news. The devil says there's no way I'm gonna lose. Hate is everywhere. Love cannot be found. It took me 2,000 years. It's almost over now. Meanwhile, back at the cross, all is not lost. Redemption is bought with each drop of His blood. It falls to the ground. Mercy abounds. His mother Mary's tears fall down to see her precious son pay the cost at the cross.
Brother Brandon, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, meanwhile, back at the church. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Brother Bert, God bless you. Good to see you back in church tonight, buddy. Amen. Praise the Lord. What do you say we interrupt Laodicea and continue with the rapture? Korea's threatening. Trump's threatening. Mad Dog General's threatening. And we're going on with the rapture. Aren't you concerned, Brother Donnie? I heard yesterday where the Secretary of State said the American people don't have anything to worry about. They can be able to rest. I said, yeah, sir, you're right. Those who really trust in God. But you trust in, I'd hate to think I was trusting some lying politician's word. Don't you? Our confidence is in the Lord and His mercy. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn tonight to Acts chapter 27, verse 35. We're going to try to get these people ashore tonight if we can. All safe and sound. That's right. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls, 276. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Let's bow our heads together and ask the blessing of the word. And may like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight, Father. We are so grateful, Lord, for your grace and mercy to us. I imagine, Lord, that for the people in this age that don't know truth, it must be a frightening time. Disease is so rampant. Lord, our nation is so affected by opioid addiction. Our government going to try to step in and do something because people's lives are in such shambles. So many things are going on. And yet, we know the answer is here. The answer for all these difficulties, all these problems. But as usual, man wants his own way. He wants to try to sort it through himself and prove that he don't need God. But Lord Jesus, we are willing to say to you tonight and to say it publicly, we need you every hour. Let people think it's small. Let people think we're just religious fanatics or think whatever they wish. We really don't care, Lord. We have found that peace and consolation which comes in you. We wouldn't trade that for anything of this world. Father, as we look into your word once again tonight, I pray you'd speak to us the great parallels of Scripture. May you bring this story out of the book of Acts, that which was written 2,000 years ago. May it be made alive and real in our little boat of life as we sail through life solemn May. Heavenly Father, this prayer call that I have in my hand, Lord Jesus, you know the need, the request. I pray the Spirit of God would be able to meet this need. Also, the hundreds of hands that were uplifted tonight, Father, signified a desire, a request, a need. No doubt people out on the internet the same way. May you move for them, Father, according to your divine pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. It won't last long. It won't be but just for a short while. But a miracle has happened on board this ship. Something has moved on the hearts of these hardened Roman soldiers, on these sailors, merchantmen, mariners, prisoners, and believers alike. They have come under the influence of a great supernatural presence. It's sad to see, but yet it happens over and over again, that people are able to be moved upon by the power of God, but not changed by the power of God. They can be affected depending upon how long they desire to be affected. And then many of them go back to the regular stance of life that they've chosen to live. Paul has now, by the Spirit of God, been able to bring this boatload of people under the awesome presence of God. Moving from a hated, despised, ridiculed prisoner, now to becoming the head spokesman of what is fixing to take place. Truly, this within itself is a supernatural power of God. Yet, I wonder how many of us would identify as being a miracle. We so look for the blinded eyes, the lame legs, the people with deaf ears, for someone with cancer. We identify them strictly alone as miracles. But do we identify the unrecognized presence of God in a believer's life being temporarily recognized by those who are spiritually dead? Do we identify that as a miracle? Whether or not you do, it is. Now, it is a miracle of different sorts. But when you can have a dead soul, a soul that is absolutely unregenerate, dead to this world, and they are able to recognize the presence of the living God in another mortal, you're not going to think that is a phenomenal miracle within itself? For a person who has not been quickened to life, who has not been changed, and yet able to recognize the presence of God. Whenever now they have all eaten, they've taken enough time to sit down, as it were, to be able to have a little bit of time. The storm is not receded at all. The waves are still battering the ship. The wind is still blowing. The ultimate destruction lays before them. The sailors may be still in their mind hoping there will be a way out. But this seems as if so, what this man has said is going to end in an ultimate loss of everything around them except for human life. It will be the loss of the tackling, the loss of the ship, the loss of the cargo, the loss of their ability to maneuver the ship in such a storm. And according to what he said, the only thing that will be left will be the lives of the individual. Still yet, they are required by God to do everything they can right up to the very last moment when the ship will be annihilated. Isn't it amazing how that God will require our very best, and yet it will look as if so ultimately at the end. Oh, friend, my mind goes back to many people when they get ready to cross over, and they are fixing to leave out of this little boat of life. And they may have cancer, they may have some type of disease, and they're struggling. And they take chemo, and they may go to Mexico, and they may try this treatment and this new treatment here. And they do everything they can within their power, and then they will come up, and it seems ultimately that cancer will take their life anyway. And it seems as if though everything they did was a total loss. I do not agree with that at all. Sometimes I believe that God will lead us and direct us, and we do this and that and that. But all along the stages of that journey, we are making an unseen, unknown effect upon people's lives. And at the day of judgment, they may be judged for your faith. Maybe they have never seen a real consecrated child of God until they walked in your room while you was taking chemo or radiation or whatever more, and they saw your attitude and they saw your sincerity and your genuine love for God, and they were affected in a way that will stand at the day of judgment, and they'll be judged by it. I don't believe these things are just happenstances, we'd say, in our lives. Now, you know, it seems in our mind, well, why don't they just forget it all, quit about it? They're going to lose the whole ship anyway. But this is part of God's plan. Remember, we're still in the continuation of the book of Acts. Now, I don't think this story is just there to be a good maritime story, to be able to describe, as I quoted to you last week, that for the historians that have studied these maritime shipwrecks, they say this is one of the most true, authenticated type of stories that you can find even in secular history. Because Luke is not writing as a secular writer, he is writing as an inspired writer, and the Spirit of God anointed the man to write down particulars, which is quite outstanding, since he himself was not a shipman or a boatman or nothing like that. So each of these stages in the journey, God is teaching us something, as well as Paul. It's not just recorded history. It is embedded in there for the life of children of God. Notice now they eat. Notice what he says in verse 38. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat, or the corn of the wheat, out into the sea. Now they had eaten their last meal together in the ship of life. Now they're fixing to be cast ashore. They don't know exactly where they are. They are lost. They feel like they're close to land because they've sent out the sounding and it's come back 130 fathoms. And then the next time they're closer, so they know they're getting close. And now they're going to eat together, for this is the last phase of the journey, and they're going to require their strength. Now, with this fresh stimulation of being able to eat, they feel energized, their spirits have been refreshed, so they are going to now do the very last move of what they can do. Ultimately, they're still going to lose the ship. You'd think in their mind, why even go through all of this? Why do it all? Because God said so. God said so. Now, God don't have Paul out there, you know, him and Luke being the spiritual leaders directing it. God said, no, I want these guys to do it. You're in their boat. I want them to do what they do best. And through this, I'm going to bring every one of you to this isthmus of land. And this isthmus of land is going to project out, which is going to be a dry sandbank. And there's going to be where two oceans or two streams come together. In there, they're going to drive her hard. They're going to bury the forefront of the ship. The stern is going to break open, but I want them doing everything they can to the very last minute. I want
want them doing everything. It's the same with us in the sea of life. We must pray. We must read our Bible. We must be faithful to God. We must press when we don't feel like pressing. Well, Brother Donnie, what's the use if I'm going to die with cancer, but you want to live every day that God's given you? If you've got some terminal sickness or disease, you want to live faithfully. Let your life testify of the keeping power of God. Oh, you say, well, and I wind up losing. You cannot lose if you're a child of God. Either you get healed here or you get the ultimate healing when you cross over. That's right. So now they have fresh strength. They've been rejuvenated in their spirit as well. And he said when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Now they're going to lighten it because as they're going, of course, the weight is causing the ship to weigh down real heavy and they're taking on more water. Remember, the waves are real boisterous and the wind is blowing. And as they are doing this, the weight is causing the ship to go down. So now Paul, they're doing all this great encouragement, all this time of fellowship. The storm is not lightened. The storm is not any better. As a matter of fact, it keeps on blowing and blowing and blowing. Your rock of dawn is really carrying on. How many is really acting up? How many has been there and he done the same thing in your life? And yet you pray, you go to church, you do everything you know to do, and it seems like the more you do, the more old your rock of dawn keeps on pressing. Well, press on your rock of dawn, because we've got a mighty God that's bigger than you are. And if God is allowing this rock of dawn to come in your life, then know that he is with you during this time. Now, ultimately, you may lose the ship itself, but he cannot take your life. So they lighten the ship of his burden. Now, this is the third time that they have lightened. You remember reading that, of course, in Romans 3, that they throw the first phase overboard, they throw the second phase overboard, and now they're throwing the wheat, which is the staff of life, they're getting rid of it. Isn't it amazing how the very thing that they was going to make money by, now itself, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, I wish we could learn that earlier on in life, that really what matters is not the things of life, as much as it is life itself. So now they are willing to throw away out of the ship the things of life that they had in the journey. But now, Brother Darrell, they have no value. They have no meaning. Why? Because the ultimate is laying before them. So which has the most value? The things of life or life itself? Now, if they keep these things of life in there, the wheat, the tackling, the furniture, all these things in the boat, it's going to take on more water, more water, more water, and they may sink before they reach the dry sandbar or the isthmus of land. It can prolong it. It can make it more dangerous, more difficult. Or which has the most value? Now they're looking at death. They're looking at, oh, what would people pay if they was dying of cancer and they could buy 24 more hours? Or if they could buy a week of life? They'd give up their BMWs or their Mercedes. They'd give up, you know, yachts and whatever more if they could only have a month of life. And then you're talking about placing the real values of what life is all about. Do we like things of life? Most of us do. We do like certain things of life and things that we enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with the things of life unless they get in the way of the purpose of life. If we can put the things of life in priority and we don't make that the purpose of why we live and the purpose of why we get up and the purpose of why we go to bed at night, the purpose of that should be the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. That's right. We should use things and love people instead of using people and loving things. Praise the Lord. But we're living in an age when people will use people, but they will love things more than they love people with a human life. And as you know, your car doesn't have a life. And other things that we so much love do not have a life. And yet creatures around us that do have a life and will stamp on them and will gossip about them, hurt their name, run them down, and so on. And make an idol out of your car. Make an idol out of your job. Make an idol out of your home. Well, come on now, saints. Now, by casting the wheat into the sea, they are basically doing this. Remember, again, at Paul's words, they have momentarily come under the influence of the administration of this servant of God. It won't last long, as I said, but right now they are basically going under the direction of this man, the Roman centurion. He's kind of backing up the ship owner. He's not saying anything for quite a while, but yet who is actually making all the calls? It is the servant of God. So they hope by throwing the wheat overboard forth, that they would be able to land closer to shore. The closer they can land this big ship, then the less chance there is of them getting bodily harm. So the ship would also draw less water with less weight. How willing men are in the time of distress to get rid of unnecessary things of life. My, no doubt this man already had this money spent. This merchantman, he was going to do this and this and this with all this money, and oh, he hated to throw that money away. Oh my, you imagine everything they throw over. Oh, that's so much money. That's so much money. That's so much. Oh, I hate to get rid of it, but not now. They're getting ready and they're emptying it out. Why? It's their life or the wheat. If it come right down to it, and it would be your job or your soul, or it would be your home or your soul, which one has the most value? Praise the Lord. Men in distress are willing to make sacrifices that they would not have made when things are going good. Then we wonder why God has to bring distress in our lives. Well, praise the Lord. First the merchandise, then of course becomes the tackling, the things which they deem are not necessary, and now coming to the most important thing necessary to life. They could not eat the furniture, of course. They could not eat the tackling. They take a lot of the sails down except for the mainsail. And now they're coming to the very ultimate of the closest to mankind. What is that? His food. Now you take our food and we're going to have a problem. You know, you take my dog, you take my cat, you take this, that, and the other. You take my food away from me, my. And they are willing to give up everything because they believe they're going to be able to go ashore because this man of God has said so. Now, the future provision is cast away for the present tense. Lord, children, the future provision of what they thought was going to make money and do this and that and the other. Now, the present tense becomes such a precedent over what they think. Well, if we could hold on to this and if we could go here, as James said, and we'll buy and sell. And we'll do this and that. James said, you better say, the Lord willing. The Lord willing, we're going to do this and that and the other. Yes, sir. Notice now, so they come to that. Man, it's something in man that he will comfort. He will actually part, rather, with the comfort, the dearest comforts of life, when it comes right down to the dividing line or the separating part between that and life in itself. My, what a wonderful work of God. Now was in, and yet this is not Paul's fault. This is not Luke's fault. This was a decision of this captain and this centurion. And yet Paul is right in the middle of this storm with all the rest of it, and God supernaturally, because of his love for Paul, has come in and intervened, displaying what? His miraculous power. No blinded eyes have come open, no lame people have walked, and yet one display after another display of the power of God, where in the midst of storms that Paul's own faith or negligence did not bring in his life. Now, you're the going to obey the final phase. Oh, my. Now, it's such an influence of what God has been able to bring upon us. I find this totally amazing to me. If God would be able to move on a man like Putin, or if God would be able to move on Nebuchadnezzar, and God can move upon Belteshazzar and different people like that, that was never Christians, as we would say, people that never submitted their lives to God, how much more can God do with us, children? If God can be able to move upon people, and we know he'll do so in the last days, that God will move upon the kings and the potentates, and they will come together against him, be able to destroy the Catholic Church. And they're not serving God, they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it will be a temporary overpowering of the human will, that the sovereign will of God can be made manifest. If God will do that, and then themselves maybe not even be willing to do it, how much more can predestination and election get a hold of the seed of God? Oh, glory. Such an influence now that God is displaying in this terrible, terrible situation. Now notice in verse 39, and when it was day, they knew not the land. Now the daylight is finally broke, the clouds are hovering real low, the wind is blowing, the mast pole blowing back and forth, the ship is rocking, now it's lighter, but it's still taking on water. You imagine every 30, 45 minutes, every hour, they're having to dump out water because the waves are so just coming over inside the ship, and they're getting nauseous. birds ate it again, and they're just not feeling well at all, and they look across it and they see the land. But now these guys are experienced sailors, so they kind of know this sea, and they know they've been there before. They had it to Mediterranean, the Aegean, so they've been around this vicinity, but they look at it and they don't know where they are. They cannot recognize, but they know there's land close at hand. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. I tell you one thing, I believe if we can look out through there and we can be able to look through life's solemn main, there's another shore coming in. It don't look like Tennessee. It don't look like Virginia or Kentucky. It's a land that I don't know exactly, but I believe it's home. Amen. I believe it's the lights from home. They knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore. Now, once here they are looking in whatever primitive type of way that they would have had during this first century AD, and they found and discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded if it were possible to thrust in the ship. So now they ascertain later, of course, and they found out that this was Melito, which is the island that we know now by the name of Malta. So they discovered a certain creek, as the scripture said, with a shore or a gulf or a bay. So now here they're coming and they can see the water as it's pouring down. So they're close enough now, probably by the naked eye, that they're able to see. And they got the guy in the crow's nest and he hangs it down to the captain. And they're looking back out through there and they're trying to peer through the clouds and the darkness and the gray. And they're able to see this. They're trying to find a spot to crash. Well, if I'm going to crash, I'm going to crash as comfortably as possible. You know, in the Victorian era, the women fainted a lot. So the furniture companies made what they call fainting sofas. You sisters know what they are, don't you? Big, long, chaise-type lounge things. We've got a couple of them in our home. So they were fainting sofas, and that actually was the proper name. So it was a fainting sofa. So these ladies, of course, they dressed decently for the most part, had big old long dresses and these big puffy things that went under the bottom. So if they was going to faint, I mean, you know what? It'd be kind of hard to faint in a chair like that. It'd be really hard to faint in a chair like that. So they wanted to faint gracefully. So they had this big, long deal, and they'd come over, I feel it coming on. So they'd get near their fainting sofa and they'd take all their beautiful lace and handkerchiefs and so on, and they would faint with grace. Oh. Oh. So they had a fainting sofa. Now, these guys believe what Paul said, though they don't believe what Paul said. They believe, now they temporarily are believing that this ship is not going to be saved. Now, no doubt they've been into real tough scrapes before, but they have pretty much resigned that, hey, this man said this and this and this. We're going, I mean, this is it. There ain't no way. So they go to looking around and they find this creek. Now with that, it is a shallowing spot on the bank. Now they want to try to find a place, if possible, where they can be able to get in as close as they can, yet allow enough to where the forefront of the ship can be able to be buried up. They ultimately know what's going to happen to the back. Now watch, by having a shore, it would have had an element of sand and so forth on the front of it to where that the boat coming in like this, driving the wind, they're catching, they're going to raise the mainsail. As they do, the back part of the wind is going to drive them when they raise the sail. Now remember, the sails are down. They're letting her go wherever she wants to go. But when they raise the sail and they bring it up and they catch the wind and they set the sail in the wind, it is going to pick it up with all this weight and all this force, and they know ultimately they will crash. Brother, sister, if you're going to crash, it's good to have a man of God on board with you. Now, what they're looking for is to make sure, because they've been around the Adriatic Sea, they've been through the Aegean Sea, they've been around the Mediterranean, and many of these shores in Italy and these other places are very, very rocky. And they really, really have high, tall bluffs. And there's no way for you to go into it. But what they're looking for is a spot by which the sandbar will project out toward the ocean, the term isthmus, as they call it, where that the sandbar will come out and meet them. whether or not ultimately going to be slammed right into a gigantic bluff. Oh my. Isn't that the way we look at life? Look at life itself. Now what the grace of God. Remember God said none of them is going to die. And they're all going to get there. But you can get there on an isthmus. You can get there on a rocky bluff. You can get there a lot of ways. Myself, I vote for the isthmus. I vote for the easiest way out. Hey, you know what? He ain't going to keep me from trials, but I'd rather have the trial as minor as possible. I'd rather have the landing as minor as possible. The least amount of damage can be done to this body, I'm all for it. Come on, don't sit there and look at me, bug. God, you're the same way. Now, whenever this projects out, they are sitting there, they're watching. What is this? The storms of life and the grace and the mercy of God is leading now his children on board this ship with these unbelievers, and he's going to bring them all there safely. Why not do it as easy as possible? So they are minded. Notice, remember what God had told Paul to tell the centurion. You all cannot be saved unless these stay on board. Why? God's going to use these men. Paul wouldn't have looked for an isthmus. Luke wouldn't have looked for an isthmus. Articurus wouldn't have looked for an isthmus. These men are necessary. Praise God. If you get sick and you come up here and God heals you, wonderful. We'll all rejoice with you. But if God wants to send you to a specialist or a doctor, go there. We'll still rejoice with you. God's still going to get the glory. None of you ain't never got a shot that ever healed you. None of you ain't never got a pill that ever healed you. You ain't never been to a doctor that can heal you, because doctors can't heal. God does that. Praise the Lord. So whether God does it by these hands or the hands of a surgeon. Praise the Lord. In this case, God did not supernaturally come down and pick this boat up and bring it over to the land and gently set it down on the shore. And he could have. But he's going to allow it to be busted to smithereens. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. Now this is what they call a quasi-technical statement that Luke uses, very equivalent to running aground. I find this phenomenal to me that a preacher would understand such words. Notice, when they'd taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Here we go. Now they're down with breakfast. What a way to end breakfast. So they're down with breakfast. The dawn is broken up to sea. They don't recognize the land. And they see this creek, this isthmus sticking out, this sandbar. Now they pull in the anchors. They loose the rudder bands. The rudder bands. Hoist up the mainsail to the wind. Looks like ultimate suicide. Isn't it amazing that God will drive us sometimes, Brother Jim, to do things that look like we're killing ourselves? We're stepping out. Jesus beckoning Peter to step out of a boat. Peter had been on the water all of his life, never barefooted. Brother Keith, he was raised, no doubt, as a kid on the water, but he had always been in a boat. He had never walked on water before, and Jesus called him out of his comfort zone. What in the world was the Lord Jesus trying to do to this man to call him out of there? Oh, man. Momentarily, he had one of the greatest miracles of the New Testament. Is that right? But yet, it must have been overwhelming to the man. It must have been overwhelming to the rest of the apostles. And thinking, Jesus, what are you doing this for? Why would you call him? You're Jesus. You can walk on water. But this is just Peter. And he proved it was just fever. Notice now what they're doing. They've eaten. They're refreshed. Ready, boys? You ready, Happy Valley? Here we go. So they're hoisting the sail into the wind. And the wind is either at their back or at a slight angle where that they can be able to move the sail around, and it'll push the boat straight in to the sandbar. They committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the main sail to the wind and made toward shore. I just gave you one of the greatest compound elements of your life when you're facing devastation and destruction. Loose your rudder band. Pull up your mainsail to the wind and head to the shore. Don't backslide and go back out into the sea of life. Head to the shore. But Brother Don, I don't know what's going to happen. Raise your mainsail to the wind. Lift up your anchors that's holding you down and head to the shore, my brother and sister. So they cut off the anchors. I mean, they're losing hold on everything, ain't they? They served lunch, dinner, breakfast, snacks. They throwed it all away. Now they're getting rid of the anchors. Nothing else. The time ain't no more. Where I'm going, I won't need anchors. You don't need anchors in sand. Amen. Amen. I'm hoisting up the mainsail. I'm catching it right in the wind. Here I come, devil. Why, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. No, I'm not. I'm obeying the word of the Lord. If he puts you and I in difficult situations and strenuous situations, and we know we're in the will of God, don't you worry. He'll save you if it ain't nothing more than a splinter. He can save you by a toothpick flowing in the Adriatic if that's the way he wants to do it, brother. Amen. There's nothing that can destroy God's purpose. When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder band. Now the rudder, of course, is an aggravation piece. This time it was a piece of timber that was on the stern part of the ship, the hinder part of the ship. Many of the bigger ships would have two. So it was a way by which they directed themselves from the rear end of the ship. So they loosed the rudder band, which at this time had been raised up to let the wind blow the ship wherever it was. Now they've got direction. I said, now they've got direction. And they loose the rudder band. And when they do, the rudder drops back down into the sea. And the man on the back side of the ship said, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Let's cut the anchors off. Let's raise the mainsail. Let's drop the rudder bands. Let's head to shore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory. And hoisted the mainsail. Blessed be the Lord. And made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met. Now the Spirit of God is directing this. Do you believe that? He's helping these guys. Amen. They're doing their best, but their best without his ain't much. But their best with his will get them ashore. So falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast. So here they come, the mainsails up, the winds caught them, and they run the forepart of the ship. And when they do, it buries in this isthmus of land, buries up, oh, no telling how many feet deep on the front end. And what happens when it does now? It's solidified, it's solid, it's buried. And when it does, the waves are still coming and the wind is a blowing and it hits the stern of the back part of the ship. And when it does, it boards flying everywhere. Preachers flying everywhere. Sailors flying everywhere. Roman soldiers flying everywhere. Let's face facts, friends. Sometimes the boat of life explodes when you leave life. It'd be nice if all of us would be able to lay down at night and have a heart attack in our sleep, but that ain't the way all of us is going to go. Some of us is going to deal with various things in this life, and we'll get better and it'll hit us again. We'll get better and it'll hit us again. Come on. Many will suffer in life, and they'll suffer for on and on and on and on. Why? I can't say I always understand it. But ultimately, whenever we come to the crossing, that will be the last thing the devil can do to us. Oh my. Many times I believe as Christians we come to that to where those two seas meet. There with the joining of the sea of life and the sea of death. There they meet together with the projection of the isthmus of sand. And God will run our mortality a foreground. Runs it right in there and we're stranded as it were. It seemed like the whole world is breaking around us. What's happening? The board of our blood pressure. The board of our heart rate. The board of our mentality. One board flying off and another. But guess what? You're fixing to walk out on the shore. You're fixing to walk out where the resurrection is on the other side. It may look like to people you lost, you didn't lose. Hallelujah. My, the inhabitants of Malta to this day call this place La Cala di San Paolo. La Cala di San Paolo, or the descent of St. Paul. This guy had some rough rides, didn't he? I mean, let down one night down a wall in a basket. Another time he's run out of jail. Another time he lands, here he comes again. What in the world's happening over there? The angel, you imagine the angels of God that was assigned to this guy? All the rest of us has one. He must have had a legion. It was his lot in life. Why didn't these things happen to Peter? Whenever he mentioned, remember in Corinthians, we talked about he was in the deep so many nights. He was through storms, through difficulty. It seemed like some people are called and chosen to go through even more in this life than others. It don't mean that God loves them less. God has a divine purpose. Come on, say, preach with me tonight. It's the same way with our walk and our call with God. Here is Luke. He was on board. Yet Luke never went through what Paul went through. Peter never went through what Paul went through. And yet the value of the revelation of the word, and we know the more gifted, the more understanding, the more pressure, the more time comes in order to be able to test your character, to keep you true. People think they desire a great position in the mind of God to understand mysteries. Are you sure? My, look at the men who have that position and the hell that follows their life to keep them humble. Come on now. We want the great this and that and the other, but do we want the shipwrecks of life that accompany it? Oh my. So it is an isthmus or a tongue of land, basically just a slender piece of land that's projecting out into the seas. Now the ocean's coming this way and that way, and this is a tongue of land or an isthmus of dry sandbar. And they slammed the boat right into the middle of it. And they buried it. And when they do, you imagine. Y'all ready? Everybody ready? Are you all ready? My Lord, friends, y'all act like you're on that boat. Am I preaching it surreal? You're scared to death? You imagine as you're facing this, you're moving so rapid and fast. You got 276 people on board, and they're all bracing for the ultimate destruction. The sandbar sticking out right in front of you. And you got this guy over here singing, "A mighty fortress is our God." Or, "All is well, all is well." I have heard the message, Shalom, and I know all is well. Oh, you imagine them looking at him and checking him out and checking him out. If he's running around, wringing his hands, he'd probably been jumping overboard. He's saying, "All right, boys, let's go. This is it. The Almighty is with us. We're in His care." Really? Really? We're in His care. He's watching over us, and this thing is fixing to disintegrate like a bunch of toothpicks floating out on this Adriatic Sea. And He is with us. Yes, He is with us. He's not only with us when we are well. He is with us when we're fighting sickness in our body. He is with us when we're going through tests and when we're going through trials. It's then that we are facing the isthmus of the sandbar of life that we can stand there and say, my God said he'd never leave me. I don't understand where I am. I'm between two seas. I'm in a difficult spot, but he told me we will not perish.
Oh, hallelujah. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all watching me? All right, if you're watching me, let's get it. Let's go. Grab a hold to the word.
The wind has caught the mainsail. It's slamming us right toward it. 10, 9, 8, 7. Y'all ready? I can hear the ship as it...
God took Noah's big ark, big boat he was on, landed it up on Mount Ararat, just kind of gently settled it down. No air shocks provided, no trailer. And God just landed it down.
You see, it proves God can do it. But now this is the will of God. We've all been there in Noah's ark. In our life with God, when we had all kinds of things there, and yet it seemed like an absolute thing. There's no way it's going to float in the beginning. And yet God, by his power, takes you through. And God deals with you. And God lands you safely on Mount Ararat as it was. And there you are. My beautiful landing. You walk out. You're just praising God, shouting. But we've all been right here too. We've all landed on the Isle of Malta, and we didn't know exactly where we were. We didn't know what was going on, but this one thing we knew. The angel of God, whose I am and whom I've served, he said he would never leave me or forsake me.
Amen. Oh, my. So the fore part of the ship... And when it does, the back part busts all to pieces. Boards flying everywhere. The main sail now breaks because the pole is now snapped in two with the force. You're talking about getting rear-ended. It felt like a whole big string of tractors and trailers hit the back of it. But God's word said, there'll not be one of them that'll die. You imagine them demons out of hell. They didn't care nothing about them sailors. They didn't care nothing about them Romans. But Satan sent them up and said, try to kill some if you can. Try to kill them. Try to drown them. Let them get hit in the head with boards, or let them get hit with this and that and the other. Let fires break out and let them swallow a bunch of water. God said, nah, 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 nah. I've done said they ain't that I'm going to die, devil. But friend, that don't mean the devil don't challenge it. When God says you're healed, that don't mean the devil won't challenge your healing. You imagine there's demons up there everywhere. Oh, drowning demons and suffocating demons and all kinds of demons around there trying to kill people. Why? They wanted to challenge God's word. But let me say to every devil out of hell, our God can take the challenge. But notice something here. Verse 42, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Drowning devils, suffocating devils, Roman killing devils.
Now notice these men for a while move under the auspices of the presence of God by whom Paul is serving. But it did not change their headship in their soul. Now they revert back to the headship in their soul, which is Romanism.
Amen.
They were affected. They were changed momentarily. But automatically they go right back and revert back to the teachings of Rome. Because if one of these guys escaped, they would be held accountable. So what do? They revert back from that wonderful service on Sunday morning, or revert back from that service on Wednesday night, and they do what they want to do anyway. Praise the Lord. It happens the same way today, that people will be moved upon by the anointing and the service of a man of God preaching. Oh God, I thank you. Lord, I feel so much better. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to do this and that and the other. And they do for 2 or 3 days. And then they go right back to the headship in their soul. What did these Romans do? Now they move and they realize, well, it looks like we're fixing to get on shore. I'm not sure we need Paul no more. So why are they going there? They're going to kill him. Children, are you going to slit the very shepherd's throat who has led you safely thus far? Are you going to cut off the heads of the ministry that have preached to you and led you thus far, and you say you don't need them no more? So, the soldiers counsel. Notice now, they've talked this among themselves. No doubt anointed by devils. People get together and want to say we don't need preachers no more. They're anointed by the devils too. Anybody that tries to destroy the influence of a ministry is anointed by the devil. I don't care what his name is, how much he screams, shouts, hollers, speaks in tongues. He's anointed of the devil. Right? So the soldiers' counsel was, they declared it. They not only thought about it, but they declared it among themselves. So they talked about it. It is set. We're going to do it. Because, hey, you know what? If Rome will send another ship for us and find out where we are. And they found out we let these live. So what are they doing? They're reverting back to the nature in their soul. And they were Roman soldiers first of all. And remember the Philippian jailer, whenever the earthquake came. And whenever he looked in the cell, he didn't see nobody. He thought Paul and them had escaped. He drew his sword to take his own life. Why? The jurisdiction of the Roman power ruled over his soul. Or it did up to that time. So he knew if these men had escaped, he would die. But Paul said, don't harm yourself. We're all still here. Then what did Paul do? Paul went home with him, helped him get a new berth, and changed his headship. Glory to God. He moved from Roman headship to the headship of Christ the Word. Oh, praise God. Can you imagine these men? What a way to repay God. What a way to repay this servant. And they're going to kill him? Lord, children, let me tell you something. You would not believe as a pastor the things that you go through and trying to help people, bearing their burdens, pray them through hard times, get them delivered of drugs, get them delivered of awful habits in their lives. And then they get mad at you and fall out with you, and then they run around and tell all kinds of lies on you. All kinds of stuff that ain't even the truth. The very ministry that delivered you. Look at the mentality. Now, we laugh at the Romans. Really, are we any different? If you find yourself in the same way of what I just described tonight, repent right while you're sitting right there. Don't wait till the altar call. Repent right now. God, forgive me. I'm sorry for that. You see what this is? Why? Now they're reverting back to the headship of the soul. They come temporarily under the anointing of God, the administration of this great man of God, which is powerful. So they designed to be able to take the lives of these individuals. It's not a new thing for the unkind world to be able to treat good things, you know, good deeds and so on the same way. People do exactly the same thing. As long as you're helping people, working for them, as long as you're doing for them, everything's wonderful. You turn them down one time, you're a devil. As long as I found over the years, as long as I help people and give people money and help people overseas and this and that and other, it's the same with the brothers I work with overseas. I'll send thousands and thousands of dollars and thousands and thousands and more thousands and more thousands. And if I turn them down one time, oh my, you ought to believe the emails I get. Your heart's hard, Brother Donnie. Your heart's way too hard toward the Lord. You ain't mine for the people of God. You're too hard-hearted. You need to be sincere. I just think, Lord, have mercy. Turn them down one time, and this is the repayment that you get for it. Why? It shows humanity. Don't y'all sit there and look at me now, bug-eyed. Forgive me, I knocked y'all from grabbing your plank there. I'm sorry, that's what it is. Some of y'all was underwater. You're waiting on me to lead you back up. I had to drop that in there for somebody. Somebody need that. So grab a hold of your plank and we're fixing to go ashore. Watch this now. They know they're coming ashore, so they predetermine before they get there. Now, let's make this agreement among ourselves. We're going to kill these people. And first of all, let me have Paul. Let me have Luke. Let me get rid of these preachers. Oh, I know they're the ones that's brought us safe thus far, but I'm so close now I can see the land. I don't need no preacher.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, you'll need one the week before you go on the rapture. Maybe the day of the rapture. Or the day before. It's amazing how people go back to the headship of their soul, isn't it? It's automatic. It's just like reflexes. It's like reflexes that are built in us. When Carol broke her arm here about 2 months ago, I'd done a little looking at it, you know, on the line to see what that bone was and this and that. Tried to understand it all. The most common bone broken in the body, right here, the bone that she broke. The most common cause is when people are falling backwards, they put their hand back like this, which is exactly what she done, and twisted it under. And the way God designed the bone in the body gets large right here. It comes down right into here and gets real, real narrow and then fans out a little bit like a Y. And whenever you do, you put that pressure on it, snaps it right there. So they have to fix it. You know, you look at it and you realize it's the same way with life. That we have strong spots and we have weak spots. Why is it the most common bone broken in the body? Because of falls. Why is it the most? Because there is a weakness there. If God would have made it the same strength all the way down, it might have been totally different. Who knows? You and I have got the same in our body. We've got wide spots that's real strong. We've got spots that are real beefy and we've got spots that narrow down. And that's the spot that'll get us in trouble. Isn't it amazing? The spot that's weakness in our life. Don't worry, the devil won't hit you in them big wide spots. He won't hit you in them great big old strong, but he knows every one of our weaknesses. Come on to Happy Valley. He knows every weakness you've got. He knows every weakness that I've got. And you need me. I need you. We need men of God until we step out on shore. Paul had been the means of saving the entire ship. And now they're going to kill him. How ungrateful people are. You realize that's one of the prophecies of the last days. That people will be unthankful. I'm going to mind telling you something, friend. That ain't just out yonder. That's in the Message Church. That's in our church. You know it as well as I do. Sometimes it's in our own families. You do things for people. You do things for people. They get to where they don't even thank you. They don't even appreciate it. It's like people expect you to do it. You owe it to me. Oh, no. Oh, no. And if we're not careful, we'll carry that same thought to God. You owe it to me. He owes you nothing. If he gives us what we deserve, my, it wouldn't be grace. If he gives us what we deserved, it wouldn't be forgiveness and pardon and love and mercy. Oh, my. But he don't give us what we deserve. He knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us of peace and of love. Life. Oh my. You imagine the devil again now moving. I'm going to kill somebody. If I can't kill but one, it'll prove God is a liar. There must have been myriads of demons of death. You think of all the freak accidents. You know how you are in your home. One little thing can happen. Lord have mercy. We break bones. We skin shins. We do the office med. We have to make 3 trips to the ER over one little deal. Come on. How many instances, Brother Terry, that was there for something to happen and nothing did? Why? God said so. Can you imagine you and your buddies and pals and wives and kids, you're all kayaking? You're going down for the peaceful kayak thing and all of a sudden something bad happens and y'all pile up in a big pile and there's about 8 or 10 of you. You'll be very fortunate to come out of there that somebody didn't get hurt. Here you got 276 people, and the boat is busting all two pieces. Splinters flying everywhere. Beams going everywhere. Office, bunch of stuff going on everywhere. And every one of them walk out. Malta didn't have an ER. There was no ambulances on Malta. They didn't need one. Amen. Oh, mayday, mayday, mayday. We're fixing to have a crash. This is 911. Please have surgeons. Please have medical doctor. Please have everybody there. It's going to be awful. No telling how many lives we're going to lose. Paul said, mayday, mayday. There ain't going to be one life lost. As a matter of fact, when we get on board, I'm going to walk out of there. I'm going to go to Publius' father. I'm going to lay my hands on him, and I'm going to cure him by bloody flux, by the power of God. The resurrection is going to save us. Let me tell you, friend, it's the same way in the boat of life. You may crash. You may get splintered up. You may get busted up all over the shore. But the devil cannot destroy you. No, sir. Why? God said so. Not one man.
Praise God. Not one man.
Why? God gave them all to Paul.
Let me say this to you. Whether you're bride or church, you are God's love gift to Christ.
The bride has that intimate place that the church will never have. We know that. But even the church is given to Christ. This is why he can make it so firm and so adamant. If any man will believe on me, as the scripture has said. This is why even the foolish virgin, the saving grace of God is so powerful. The beast will not be able to get them into tribulation even without the Holy Ghost. The Savior, oh hallelujah, the Savior and the knowledge of that Savior and them receiving just that step of justification and being baptized is so powerful in a human's life, it will call millions out of the tribulation period. What about those of you that receive his own personal life, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, the token? How in the world can the devil stop you?
Praise God. Notice verse 43, but the centurion, willing to save Paul. Glory to God. It didn't say he gave a nickel for the rest of them. It didn't say that he's even concerned about them. But if you save Paul, you save the rest. When God brought Christ out of hell, he saved the rest of us. Hallelujah! When he raised him from the dead, he saved the rest of us.
Glory to God, hallelujah. Let sickness rage, let death rage, let the devil do whatever he wants to do. How you know you're saved, Brother Donnie? Because God saved the head of the race. And if God saved the head of the race and brought him up out of the grave, I've got to follow. I'm part of the body. Amen. When God raised the body up out of the grave, that was the head. You ain't gonna stop the rest of the body coming with it.
But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. Children, I imagine we'll be absolutely overwhelmed. If the mysteries of life, however far that we go and they're broke around us, In the way that we don't associate suffering and loss and so on. I don't know exactly how it's going to be in heaven. But when he goes to showing us things he kept us from and things that he brought us through, it will probably overwhelm us. Why? Why? The purpose of God. The centurion, what did he do? He broke their purpose. How many times did the devil purpose in his mind to destroy you? But God defeated his purpose. Amen. No doubt there must have been something about this man, not just because he was a Roman citizen, but he is now witnessing a supernatural about this man that cannot be explained away. Brother Donnie, do you understand all the wherefores and the whys of all the message? Can you answer all the questions that everybody has raised up? I cannot. No, absolutely not. And they affect me so much. They have tore me to pieces. I mean, they have tore me so much. I'm studying the message now more than ever.
Amen.
You mean, Brother Donnie, you have no, the credibility is a credibility. I look and see what it's done for me. I see what it's done for you. I see what it's done for people around the world. And I see the lives of those questioning the credibility. And then I ask myself the simple question, which one do I want to be? And I answer myself back, I'll stay with where I am. I said, I'll stay with where I am. Remember, God said, you're going to Rome. Once again, God uses a heathen to intervene and save this man's life. No, friend, don't resent it. Don't resist it. If God wants to use a doctor or God wants to use a whatever more to help you, God did it for Paul. My, thanks be to God. But the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. So they're still far enough, Brother Terry. They're not just walking right out on this isthmus of land. Now, probably for all the mariners on board, they know how to swim. You imagine these poor guys that can't? Now, this ain't like you're in a backyard in a swimming pool. It's about this deep. You're facing, oh, you're Aquadon. Some of y'all think Donnie's bad. I mean, the wind is howling. There's debris flying everywhere. But God said, not one will perish. I imagine they still got scared. How many get scared when you crash up? What's God doing? God is now. It's not Paul. All right, everybody, let's do this, let's do that, let's go over here. God is using this man. He's displaying his leadership abilities. Everybody that can swim, get out. Watch this, grab a plank, do this, add the other. God is going to use them. So he commands, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped. I love this little big word. All safe to land. But look how they got. Some was able to swim. They were experienced swimmers. They were able to turn their head back and forth and catch a breath of air between all the wind and the waves that was going on. Others were terrified. They couldn't swim. They didn't know how to swim. They never taught to swim. They were business people or whatever more. So what did they do? They grabbed a hold of a board. Others were even more terrified than them. So they looked for a bigger piece of the ship. Can't you see? We don't all leave this world the same way. Some were able to swim right through. Man, they just go right on the easy death. Others grab a board and they hold on and they fight and they sweat through it. Others have to have a bigger piece of the ship. But listen, friend, the main thing is we all get there safe. Whether you go by an automobile accident or a disease or you fall asleep at night and you wake up the next morning in bluegrass about that high, we are all going home and we're going to arrive safe. Oh, you imagine the debris is everywhere. Planks, boards, doors, tables, mast poles. It's everywhere.
some from the pieces of the ship, some from the boards, and they're all trying and they're trying. Don't worry. You'll get there. Oh, glory to God. Oh, my. How they must have rejoiced, Brother Darrell. Maybe the ones of his experienced swimmers got there first. They were able to brave the tumultuous seas and the winds. I made it. I made it. Come on. Come on. You can make it. Maybe some not so experienced, or maybe some not so sure about death. They couldn't quote the quotes about death and the scriptures about death, so they grabbed a hold of a plank and they're so scared and they're going down every now and then. They come back down. And then finally, the big wave comes and goes. And they're just. And they pick up a handful of sand. They, oh, sand! Sand! I've never been so glad to have a mouthful of sand in my life. Sand, sand, sand. I made it. I made it. All of them arriving on different pieces, different shapes, different sizes, but all of them on one promise given to one man. Glory to God. Some of us will weep our way through. Some will be able to be blessed by God, and you'll maybe be able to do more shouting than others. Some of you shout up and down the bank quicker than others of us will. Maybe some of us it'll take a little bit longer. When we realize it, it'll hit us and we'll take off too. But we're all going to get there, friends. Why? Because we're good. Because we're faithful. Because we do this and that. Because we are a love gift to Christ. God gave him his bride before the foundation of the world, and there is nothing in this sea of life that can destroy you and I, no matter what it is. Let's stand. You can see why for some people when they read this story, especially mariners or merchantmen or people that know a lot about the sea, they make this story as simply nothing but a mystical fable. Because there's too many odds against this happening. I feel sorry for them because they just don't know my daddy. I wonder how the odds are stacked against us. Our human nature, our makeup, our failures, our shortcomings, all of that goes against us. And we'd be pretty discouraged if we looked at that. But we ain't looking at that tonight. We're looking at who we belong to. If I looked at my faithfulness and my preaching and this and that and the other, oh my, I'd be so overwhelmed tonight. But I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at God's mercy. I was given to Christ Jesus before the world began. His name was the first one written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And somewhere down in the tally roll, my name is also found. My original word name. Oh, I may arrive on a piece of the ship. I may arrive on a boat. Who knows? I may arrive in on a two by two. Here I am floating on a two by two. But I'm going to make it. Knowing me, I'll be floating in on Acts 2:38. A piece of Acts 2:4 and a piece of Acts 22:16. But I'm coming. Oh, some of y'all smarter than me, y'all better than me, you can. You're professional swimmers. Well, I can swim pretty good naturally, but in this sea of life, I get overwhelmed. So if God sends me a plank, I'm taking her. What about you? Don't you love him, saints? Don't you love him? Praise God. Whether in the ship, leaving the fair havens, coming into the ship in Euroclodon for 14 days and nights, no sun, no stars. When the seamen finally spot land, and we know we're fixing to crash. I'm now thrown out of the ship, gurgling, going down. The expulsion from the ship has now thrown me down in, and I'm turning head over heels. Or whether I'm on shore, in his hands, I'm safe. You're not safe because you're in the fair havens alone. You're not safe just when you're on the shore. You're just as safe in the middle of your Euroclodon. Because you're in his care. Praise God. Praise God. You're in his keeping, children. You're in his keeping. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Oh my, maybe there's some here tonight under the sound of my voice, or out there that streamed the service tonight, or somebody that'll go back and archive it tomorrow or the next day. You're in the awful storm of your life. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your body. But it's just such a terrible thing. It seems like your world is crashing in around you. Remember his words, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But Brother Donnie, I don't feel him. I understand. I understand. There's been many times in my life I would have given anything to felt him. But for myself, I found some of the hardest trials I ever go through. I don't feel him like I want to. And many of the greatest trials that I've been through, and you've seen me go through several of them here in this assembly, even some of my closest friends outside of our brothers here in the church wouldn't even comfort me and reach out to help me. You're talking about tough. You're talking about tough. When you're going through something so difficult, and even your close friends keep their distance from you. It's not easy. But there's one thing I can say. Jesus has never distanced himself from me. No. The only time he's ever distanced himself from me was when I did something that displeased him or was wrong somehow. That's right. Aren't you glad that he's with us, friends? He's with you. He loves you. He cares for you. Oh, hallelujah. And maybe I'd like to be just remembered tonight before the Lord. Something in your home, your body. Maybe it's your mind. Your marriage, your children, whatever it is. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these little simple things tonight, Lord. I know they've not been deep and profound and all that, but I think most of us can relate to it simple enough. When you were here on the earth, you could have talked in such language that for the most part, even the disciples wouldn't have understood you. But you chose to speak in such a way that the scripture says the common people received you gladly. I pray you'd help me, Lord, that I would never, ever get to a place, Lord, to where I preach above the people, preach beyond their comprehension, their understanding, where they cannot be able to relate and get something out of the service. Help me, Lord, and these minister brothers here, and as a matter of fact, all your bride ministers around the world, that we don't preach to impress. We preach to feed. We preach to help. We preach to uplift. Not to impress people with our ability to study and to show our great wisdom and understanding, but Lord, to minister to your sheep. Help us, Father. Every person here tonight, Lord, is in this boat of life.
Through many things we sail together. It's a peculiar walk that we have. We are baptized individually, but yet collectively into the body of Christ. So collectively, we suffer as a body. Collectively, we suffer as a group. But individually, we can suffer so different. Some can be going through great, great trials, while others are having great mountaintop experiences. And others can be just coming out of one or the other. We can be in various stages. But yet, Lord, when it comes to our walk with you, each of us have our own. Each of us can be so low, while our brother and sister, even our wife, can be having such a great, wonderful, high place in you. But Lord, we know it's only a matter of time till it will change. For we know we defeat sickness only to enjoy health for a while, and sickness will come again. We defeat it, it will come again. We get through one trouble, we defeat that by the grace of God, and here will come another. It's the law of contrast, Father. But help us, I pray, Lord. Ultimately, we want this great ship to carry us home. Oh, blessed God, I hope I'm alive when the rapture comes. I want to be alive, but if I have to go by the way of the grave, Lord, if it's an accident, if it's a disease or a heart attack or something, and I'm loose from the sea of life, as Paul said that he was being loose from the moorings, and the anchor was taken from the anchor post, and he sailed out on life's solemn main. The gentle breezes began to blow. Then the fear of death began to move upon his humanity. Oh, Lord Jesus, no doubt some of us will have to go that way. But Lord, if we do, we'll land safely on the shores of the sixth dimension. All death can do is transport us from mortality to immortality. How many of us stood beside, Lord God, right here at our church, and see them as they were taking their last breath of life? Yet, dear God, they wasn't screaming of hell. They wasn't terrified. They didn't see demons. Flames wasn't licking up around them. Glory to God. They were letting loose from the moorings of life. The gentle breeze of mortality was blowing them across the final phase of the mortal realm. And they were finally loose from mortality. Glory to God. Some may go by board, some by a piece of ship, some by a graceful stroke of an experienced swimmer. Either way, Lord, we must all go. But we will all arrive in one condition: safe. Praise God. Safe. Lord God, bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Almighty God, I love you so. You are my everything. You've changed my life and washed me clean, and now you are my King. How could you love me so, my Lord? I'm sure I can't understand, but all I know is I love you so. You are my everything. You are my bright and morning star. My God, I love you so. Whatever I go through in the storms of life, I know you'll keep me, 'cause you said so.
I'm down sometimes and weary, Lord. I don't know what to do. But in the stillness you come and let me know you still love me too. Oh, you are my Lord, my King, my God. You are my everything. I long to see your blessed face, my God manifested, the flesh, the King. The mighty Adonai, the wonderful Elohim. Oh Lord, I love you so. Through the storms of life, you've kept me, Lord. And now I love you so. Oh, hallelujah. You are my bright and morning star. You are my everything. You loved me, Lord, when I was so lost. You traded my nothing and you gave me everything. You took my sin, my shame, my wrong, and you gave me a new life, a new song. Now I'm sailing in this boat of life, and I'll be home before very long. You are my bright and morning star. You are my everything. Great Adonai, you call my soul, and now I'm your everything. You placed your seed inside my soul. I heard your mighty voice. You set my feet on this blessed path, and now I love you so. Oh, it won't be long, so very long, we'll sit at that table 1,500 miles long. We'll reach across the table. We'll take a hold to the saints of God. There we'll sing redemption song. The King will come out with his robe in his hand. He'll wipe the tears, the last one, from our eyes. He'll say, cry no more, my little ones. You're here now by my side. You are my Lord, my morning star. You are my everything. You took my old nature so far away, and you slipped on my hand a wedding ring. You have called me Lord by my real soul name. My theophany heard your word. It breathed upon the seed of God when the voice
of God, it hurt. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord God. Some arrive on a board, some on a piece of a ship. Some die so peaceful in their sleep. And some will go in the ER room, while their loved ones will stand and weep. Some will fight cancer and disease, but there's one thing we all know for sure. Before the world began, we were given to Christ, and we'll all land safely on that shore. You are my first, you are my last, you are my bright morning star. How could you love me so, my Lord, from right up where you are? I was so lost indeed, but you spoke my name by your word. And now I'm a son of the living God. The seed within me has been stirred. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father. Blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. I worship you, I worship you, my Lord, my blessed King. You took away my old sinful life, and you made me a new living thing. My old book has been destroyed, thrown away into your mighty sea. I resurrected a brand new man in Christ to sail on this life in the sea. Oh, but one day soon we'll hear the call. Come up, come away, my children, it will be heard. In the resurrection, the saints of God, dust particles of calcium and potash, they will be stirred. And those of us who are alive, in a moment will be changed. Our cells will be rearranged. Glory! And all at once we'll move on that shore, all safely before the King of Kings. I love you, Lord, with all my heart. You are my everything. Yes, Lord. I cannot live without you, Lord. I cannot breathe and move or even really sing, Lord. You saved me, Lord, when I was lost. You redeemed my name under the seventh seal. You call me, Lord, to serve you by your grace. I'm predestinated to fit in your will. I love you, Lord, with all. Oh, help me love him, children. You are my everything. My first, my last, my Alpha, my Omega. You're the reason I live and sing. Oh, not very long away, I know I'll bow down before your precious feet. My eyes will gaze upon you, Lord, for the first time. You I will see. Lord God, Lord God, forgive me, children, but I just don't mind telling you, I cannot wait for that time. Okay, I don't mind. If I'm last, if there's 4 billion people in front of me, but I finally get my turn. If I can just come down to him. Lord Jesus. Sweet Lord Jesus. It's not a dream. It's not fictitious. He is a person. You get to touch him. Your tears may momentarily drop upon his feet. The daddy may reach down to you and say, welcome, Daryl. Whatever your name is. Welcome. Welcome home. Oh, can you imagine how you'll feel when you say, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. And he says, let me embrace you. And you fall into his arms. And while you're there, you realize that imprint was made on his bosom before the foundation of the world. You always knew there's something about you that's drawing you toward heaven. And when you go to look and just, you just snuggle right in and say, oh. It's good to have you back home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Don't you love him, saints? I'm going to let you go. God bless you. I'll see you, Lord willing, this weekend. Whether you're in the Fair Haven, in the middle of the storm, or your boat is crashed and you've got a hold of something that seems so small, so inadequate to get you through. Maybe you've only got one little promise of a plank. I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Hold to that plank with all of your heart. And keep this in mind. If God only gave you a plank this long, if that's all he gave you, it will see you through. If he couples another with that one and that one and that one, praise God. If he gives you a mini raft, hang on to it. You'll make it. Whatever he gives you, hang on to it with all of your might. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. You are my Lord, my King, my God. I wouldn't want to live one moment without you. You've changed my life and made me complete. You are my everything. Oh, how I long for that blessed day. I'll be pulled into your arms and feel your arms around me, Lord, then I'll be safe from harm. Lord, you've been with me since I was but a child in this journey of life. You've brought me through so many things, and now you've helped me to see I'm part of your wife. But oh, how I long to step upon that shore of eternity that day, when my soul, my theophany, my flesh will embrace, all mortality will fade away. You are my bright and morning star. You are my everything. Sometimes I feel all alone, dear Lord, but even then your blessings you bring. Oh, I know beyond everything of this life that you are so divine. You've changed us, Lord, by your mighty power. Not only are we yours, but you are mine. I love you, Lord, with all my heart. I do, Almighty God. I've been privileged to walk with you while on this earth I've trod. I've sat at the table of the blessed King. I've ate of his food so divine. But I've got a special place reserved at the marriage supper with my name. Amen. It's already mine. Oh, I love you, Lord. I worship you. You are my King of my life. What would I do, dear Lord, every day without you in my life? You are my way, my truth, my peace. Oh Lord, I love you so. I long to see your blessed face. I love you, Lord, you know. You called us, Lord, in the moment of time when we were attributes in your mind before the world.